Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We think on our own. Sometimes I think Matt's crazy, but that's all part of thinking. After your massive overreaction to the Volpe kid, then it turns out he made the team. Again, your lack of patience. All that yelling and screaming last week, it just gets exhausting. And then the kid made the team. The kid made the team.
Yeah, good.
And he did all the yelling.
Maybe Aaron Boone heard me. I don't know.
No, I really sincerely doubt it.
But I'm thrilled he made the team. And his seeing his reaction, the Yankees released video of him making the team. I mean, his story is so cool. It's a lot of fun. So I'm really rooting for the kid.
Yeah, look, and really, when he's at Scranton Wilkes-Barre on Memorial Day, we'll talk later.
No, senor!
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, RV, boat, motorcycle, whatever it may be. Purdy Insurance will make sure you're fully covered while at the same time, doing everything they can to save you money. That's because they're the best in the business. The best in the business. It's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right. We might as well start off the week right. It is time now for the Matt Cotrillo, after a long weekend of just pent-up anger, the Matt Cotrillo rant of the day.
There are a couple of things on the docket today.
Oh, time for me to just sit back.
the first thing is, now that I've seen it to a team that I'm a little bit in closer relationship with, I'm getting more and more fed up with the transfer portal. Something really needs to be done, because it's bad. It's out of control. I know I'm not breaking news here. You know the same thing, Steve. And Mahaffey's at the transfer portal now for Penn State. But different circumstance, though. But in women's hoops now, Bucknell has lost their face of the team, Cecilia Collins, who's decided to leave after 2 years. And one of their key bench players, Remy Sisselman, is now heading to the portal after 2 years. Now, after talking to some people that are a little bit closer to the team than I am at my spot as a PA announcer, it seems like they kind of made the decision on their own. There wasn't like anything that happened behind the scenes or anything like that, as far as I've been told. So that brings me to where my frustration is with the transfer portal, is that there just seems to be no loyalty anymore at all. And the fact of the matter is, it's because of how easy things are right now with the transfer portal. I am all for what you said, Steve, I think it was sometime last week, that if you transfer for NIL reasons or whatever, then you should have to sit out a year. I am all for that, because I think
That's the second time. First time.
Or second time, you're right. Okay.
Yep.
So, because this is getting ridiculous. And you know what? Who's going to suffer now? is definitely the mid-majors like Bucknell. And Bucknell's already at a disadvantage because they don't have any graduate programs. So you automatically will not be bringing back any fifth-year seniors, let alone try to retain players that you recruited for all 4 years that they play. Now you have this into the mix, mid-majors are going to suffer. Now, I can't speak for the programs, both men and women. I'm just seeing what's happening right now at Bucknell now with the women's hoop side of things, and this is not good. This is not good at all. This is not good for the sport. Sure, it may make some extra craziness in March Madness, as we've seen really on both sides, but especially the men's side this year. But I think this is really just going to hurt mid-major schools. It really will. I'm fed up with it. I'm done.
Oh, if you're done, that's it. We're done.
Oh, my almighty! But we need solutions fast, both with NIL and the transfer portal, because they almost go hand in hand somewhat now.
Well, there's a lot of it that comes into play here. There is the COVID year, the transfer portal, and NIL. They're all right now forces coming together that's A, making the sport older, which is not necessarily bad. But the players have essentially all the power in this. And the quicker that athletic departments make the determination that they have the power, that's why this... What's the toughest time of the year for coaches in sports? The toughest time for coaches in sports right now, I'm talking about college sports now, are the 8 weeks after the season happens to be over with. Why, you know, or 8 to 10 weeks, really. In the 8 to 10 weeks after a season is over with, you have to do two things. You have to do three things. You have to continue your recruiting, you have to look at the transfer portal, and you have to, above all, re-recruit your team. You have to re-recruit your team every year. That's why, for example, quote, the dead period starts Thursday, and I think it goes Thursday to Thursday, I think, or maybe it goes Thursday to Tuesday. But the dead period goes Thursday to Tuesday. But, and this is when the coaches normally go to the coaches' convention. There are a lot more coaches that may want to go down for a day, but they want to get their backsides back to campus as quickly as possible because they can't let any problem happen with their players going into the portal. You can't. There is no way as a coach that in the 8 to 10 weeks when the season's over with, that you could sit back and relax in any way. Because you have to work on your own team. And that's the problem. And I mean, that's a big problem. Between NIL and the portal, right? It's just becoming more and more problematic for coaches. They've got to be back to re-recruit their team all the time. In a situation like Bucknell, nobody transfers down to Bucknell. All these players would like to idealistically transfer up. And that is a problem for mid-major schools. Now, along the line, if they were to expand the NCAA tournament, and that's still a big if, you can see there'll be a push for it. Then more mid-major schools would obviously be in line to make the tournament. But college basketball is older in so many ways. Let me ask you something. In the Elite Eight, who was the star freshman? There weren't any. There weren't any star freshmen in the Elite Eight. In the Sweet 16, sure, you had Brandon Miller. But again, you get to the Elite Eight, I mean, even the Sweet 16, who are the star freshmen? There aren't any. And you know, that's just the way it is in college sports now. Two things have also happened. Number one, we'll start with Mike Bray. Mike Bray always openly talked about the need for a team that he is coaching to be better. I mean, to be older. Well, with the transfer portal, that advantage he had left. Now everybody across the board is attempting to be older. Even Kentucky is attempting to be older. Number two, for those who over the years have quietly made sure money was funneled in the direction of certain student athletes at certain programs, we'll leave it at that. Now, because of NIL, that advantage is gone. And that's where certain elements have come into play. But again, for Bucknell, whether it's men's or women's basketball, Jalen Pickett wanted to show what he could do at the highest level. To him, the Big Ten was a higher level than playing at Siena. Okay? Now, other guys like Andrew Funk. Look, Andrew ended up going to grad school here, and Andrew had already played 4 years at Bucknell. He had a COVID year. Right? But the COVID year, NIL, and the transfer portal have made all college sports older. And once again, when you sit there and look around, who are the star freshmen? Who are the star freshmen in the tournament? Brandon Miller was for a period of time with Alabama, but who are the star freshmen? There aren't any. And that's how much the sport has changed. Everybody talked about Penn State being an older team this year. Well, guess what? That's the way it goes. Now, this is the first Final Four where NIL, I feel, played a major role in the team getting there. And that, of course, happens to be Miami, John Ruiz. Now, for those of you who are wondering, his business and how he, and the and what they do. Okay. And Ruiz, by the way, so far has made $10 million in NIL deals with college athletes, mostly at the University of Miami. We know about the backcourt, and it's interesting because I was talking to Jack Ham today about this. I said, that's your basic $500,000 backcourt. He goes, $500,000? I said, yeah. Denzel Pack. Okay. The $400,000 per year, 2 years, plus a car. And then Isaiah Wong, who was like, hey, wait a minute, what's this deal? Right? Well, Isaiah Wong's deal is for $100,000. And what does Life Wallet do? Well, by the way, if you're calling, I mean, you're wondering what Life Wallet does. It's, you know, the healthcare ecosystem, which of course is so deep. What it does is it gives them access to their health information. Providers, payers, things like that. That's what Life Wallet does. And then they've expanded into what's called Life Wallet Sports, which is going to include sports bar, restaurant facilities in Miami, and as far away as Las Vegas. I mean, so they're going to do a lot. They also have Life Wallet legal referral systems, a lawyer referral system for the entire country that provides information for people who they think might benefit from services due to cases that involve any kind of injury. That's what Life Wallet is. That's John Ruiz. He's put $10 million. And now you see Miami in the Final Four. Now, that $10 million, of course, includes football. And football didn't go as well. But this is the first time I think we've seen a dramatic impact on what name, image, and likeness can mean to a program. And once again, right, Jim Larrañaga is a wonderful coach. He really is a wonderful coach. And has done a great job with this team. Look, you know, okay, unbeknownst to maybe some of you out there, Miami did play a game in the Jordan Center last year. They won the game by 6 over Penn State. And they made the Elite Eight last year, and they're in the Final Four this year. But this is an NIL impact right before our eyes with what Miami is doing. I know you're not finished. I can see you simmering.
Yes. Why
don't we take a break?
Okay.
Why don't you get yourself a nice cold glass of water? Or, if you wish, maybe a nice hot cup of tea with some lemon. Kind of bring the blood pressure down a little bit. What do you think?
I'll just go with some nice H2O. I'm not really a tea kind of guy.
I'm just trying to sell you down. Okay? And also, one of those paper bags I sent you, just breathe into that for a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I'll go get that now.
And then what we'll do is we'll bring some gasoline, and you can have it thrown on your fire here, and we'll go from there. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, motorcycle, boat, RV, whatever it may be, bundles. They'll do everything they can to save you money, but also make sure you're fully insured at the same time. They're the pros' pros, and customer service means everything to them. It is all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right, and we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. We've already had one Matt Cotrillo rant. Kick back and enjoy. Here's number two.
Well, this just happened not too long ago in the Phillies-Blue-Jays spring training game. Did you see what happened?
No.
You see this? Spring, okay.
It's a spring training game. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, you watched it?
I mean, I just happened to see it on social media.
Right,
that's
now,
all.
I'm not even sure Scott Fransky's watching, and he's sitting there.
Well, that's all true. I would have known this either unless I saw it on social media. But this JT Real Muto today was ejected for no reason at all from by an umpire. And here's what happened. This is the audio courtesy of from SN Network in Canada.
Kimbrough says, "I don't like that call." Now, here's the action right here. And the umpire felt like Real Muto took his bum out of the way. And I think Real Muto didn't sense that the ball was on its way, so he just figured the umpire was throwing it back to the mound.
Now, on the prior exchange, the umpire threw it out to Kimbrough. So, all right, you don't feel the ball get nestled into your glove. So he wasn't even looking back at the umpire. He just pulled his glove down.
Yeah, Kimbrough was called for a pitch clock violation. So he thought that JT Realmuto basically was retaliating with that whole exchange there. But he wasn't. He just thought, you could tell in his body language that all he was looking for was the ball. He didn't think he had it, so he closed his glove and he was moving on. All of a sudden, he got thrown out. I mean, really? Who does this guy think he is, other than he's trying to turn a spring training game, of all things, into himself? Come on now. It's a spring training game. Get over yourself, dude. This guy should not be umping at all a regular season game, let alone a spring training game, to get irked by something stupid as that. You gotta be kidding me. Umpires in general need to get over themselves. Leave themselves out of the game and just get in there and do the job correctly. Maybe if you do the job correctly more often, you wouldn't have these problems. You won't have to be so sensitive and defenseless every 5 seconds. Weak. Absolutely weak.
So because of that, the Phillies are 0-1 in the season?
No, but it's spring training. That's the point. It's a spring training game. Chill out.
The game didn't count.
Yes.
Oh, well.
So why are you throwing people out if it doesn't count? Who cares?
They probably would relish having the day off. All right.
Swallow your pride down your backside and move on.
Yeah. Unimportant things make you very upset, don't they?
Once again, I can't ignore stupid. This was stupid.
Yes.
That was under the stupid category today.
Yeah.
Category, umpires caring way too much about themselves, even in a spring training game.
Well, they're unionized and hard to get out of there. You know? You don't ever see those guys getting fired, do you?
No, which is a problem.
Well, that's because they have a powerful union.
I know that.
It's also a specialized skill, too. But, I mean, let's be honest about it. It is a specialized skill. It's not an easy job. I realize they're decently, in fact, you can even say well compensated for it, but it's not easy. I know you think it's easy.
Yeah, being a player is not easy. Being a manager is not easy.
Well, that's not how you portray it on the air. Everybody's stupid.
It's not easy, but there's people who simply just stink at the job. This guy stinks at his job.
Okay. So we'll put you down as not in favor? Now,
no, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
I mean, despite all this, the Phillies are winning 4-2.
Well, that's good. See, I didn't even know the score. I just knew that this happened.
Trey Turner, homered.
Well, there you go.
Two-run shot.
All right.
Yeah, you know, it's all right. Bohm went 0 for 3. He's hitting .232 in the spring. Stott, 1 for 3, did knock in a run. In fact, Realmuto scored. He's hitting .200 this spring. Castellanos is hitting .240. Paul, they're going to need him at first base, .296. JT's hitting .353. Wow. Schwarber's hitting .250. Turner's hitting .524. You know what's really important about all those stats?
Zipola.
Nothing counts. Oh, look, the Yankees are winning 7-4. Let's check this out. LeMahieu's hitting .342.
He's actually had a good spring.
Your guy Volpe's 0 for 2 today. He's at .302 and falling like a rock. Rizzo, .216. Stanton, .222. Another 0 for 3 day. Donaldson, .263. Your guy Cabrera, .340. Hicks is hitting .282. Just like the World Baseball Classic, Aaron Judge is taking the day off.
Hey, he had a two-run. He and Rizzo went back-to-back yesterday. He did his part.
It's a spring training game. He didn't do any part. He just showed up and hit the ball. Everybody went, okay, great. It doesn't count.
All right.
I want you all sit. Doesn't count. It just doesn't matter. This guy's trying to make the team. Now it matters. The Volpe kid made the team through his performance. Now there are other guys that are playing today that either are trying to tune up for the season or, IKF is in center field today, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, that about explains where he is right now.
Yeah, but I thought he was like your shortstop savior last year. You kept bragging about it the whole time, and then the second it's time to go to the curb for the Tuesday pickup, you are ready to put him out with the garbage. These people, these are humans, and you act like they are disposable. Lamar Jackson has requested a trade.
My almighty!
It's interesting that Lamar Jackson is important on three different fronts. And this is in no order, but I'll just throw out. We'll start with this. Obviously, he's a player. He plays a different style, especially when you're playing out of the division. He's hard to get ready for. Now, in the division, because you see him a couple times a year, you have a better handle on how he plays and how they play. But out of the division, a little more difficult. And he's really improved as a passer. For the most part, he is smart as a runner. Because he does get out of bounds, but when you play that way, there's still going to be moments when you play the way he does where look, you're just going to get hit. Right? But he's important as a player because he's just so different than so many people. Which then brings us to the next part. And we've had Trace McSorley on the show. Trace McSorley has told you in no uncertain terms how valuable his leadership is in the locker room. And that's, and that means a lot. And he's also important to the city of Baltimore. He's also important to the city of Baltimore. So we'll see. How that plays out. The final four, I was thinking about this yesterday, I'm watching this. And this will be one of the lower-rated, especially the first game. It's going to be one of the lower-rated Final Four games. And even though the ratings for the tournament have been up, the Final Four, which last year was on TBS, so you thought, hey, this year it's going to be on CBS, so the ratings are going to be even higher. But last year you had Kansas in it. You had North Carolina playing Duke. And that makes a difference, especially the casual fan. this probably the opening game, and it's no coincidence that Miami and UConn will be the nightcap. All right. It'll definitely be the nightcap, because the game between Florida Atlantic and San Diego State, while it's a Final Four game, does not have the intrigue and juice and the brand names that the casual fan is used to. If you're a diehard, you're locked in. If you're a casual fan of the sport, you'd be like, well, you know, I may watch the UConn-Miami game. That seems pretty good. And look, Florida Atlantic earned its way in. San Diego State earned its way in. So this is not a put-down of them. It's just, let's face it, when you get to this point, brands do mean something. And you don't have a single number one seed. You don't have a single two, a single three. It's the first time it's ever happened. Now, UConn, which at one point in January lost 6 out of 8, it's always loved the Penn State narrative all the time. It's always done by those who casually follow the sport. Well, they only got good at the end. No, not really, no. They had a 4-game losing streak. UConn lost 6 out of 8. Right? They played great early. They played great late. They had one hiccup in the middle. It's a long season. As I pointed out before, there are 3 times this season where I sat back and went, ugh, because I thought from the beginning, and Dick Girardi and I felt the same way, this had all the makings of being an NCAA tournament team. The doubts crept in after the loss to Michigan State at home. And the reason being is that we've both felt strongly that Penn State was better than Michigan State. Still feel that today. But then they bounced right back and won by double digits in Illinois. Then they beat Iowa. Right? Then after the loss to Purdue, they came back and they pounded Indiana by double digits. Then they pounded Michigan by double digits. I mean, 3 of those 4 teams were NCAA tournament teams. The other one's in the NIT. And they had a big lead on Iowa. Iowa kind of came back and made it at least somewhat interesting late. Then came the second one. That was the 4-game skid. You're like, oh. Kind of felt they were right there after the Michigan game, still right there. I mean, because of the games I talked about. Winning at Illinois, beating Iowa, pounding Indiana, pounding Michigan, right? And then they lost the 4 in a row. Then they put themselves into, okay, we have to be in playoff mode, and then they went bang, 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 1-3 in a row. Then, of course, the craziness of the Rutgers game, that was the 3rd time doubt creeped in. But then they bounced back, and then they won at Northwestern. They beat Maryland. Then they beat Illinois again for a 3rd time. Then they beat Northwestern for a 2nd time for a sweep. Then they ended up sweeping Indiana. You know, and that's how it played out. So it wasn't just the end. Okay? It's a long 37-game season. Well, UConn went through that long 37-game season. I mean, they beat Alabama early in the season. But then they hit January, and they lost 6 out of 8. It's just a long year. And then they, you know, in February they kicked it back into gear, found themselves again. I was thinking about this as time was going. If Penn State had scheduled Florida Atlantic as a non-conference game, I would be sitting here telling you, like, hey, look, this team's really good. And would it translate into the seats? Probably not. Because people would look at the label of Florida Atlantic and go, eh, I don't know about that. Okay. If I were to say San Diego State was coming here, well, San Diego State usually is pretty good. But would it translate into seats? I don't know. All right. If I were to tell you that Miami was coming here, well, I already know that. Miami was here last year. Now, if UConn came in, it probably would be like, okay, you know, they know who UConn is. There'd be a pretty good turnout for UConn. There'd be a really good turnout if Texas came here. But brand names mean something. And they mean a lot to fans, especially casual fans, that then get involved. That's why I think the ratings for the first game are going to be right around what the Butler VCU thing was back in 2011. Like, and it's going to be like that for this game, only because there's no Duke against North Carolina. Brand names. Second game will have a pretty good rating. Have a pretty good look at it. It'll be Miami, UConn. I think there'll be some buzz around that game.
I was slightly pulling for Creighton. Not that I have anything wrong with Florida Atlantic and SDSU in there, but I was pulling for Creighton because had they won, and of course UConn took care of business, then we would have had a shot at an all Big East final.
Yeah, could have.
Which would have been cool to see, but
now you have Conference USA, Mountain West, Big East, and ACC. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. More in a moment. And great to have you with us today as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Coach Larrañaga will go to Houston trying to win two games and would be the oldest head coach if he did it to win a national title at age 73. Gutsy performance. It's the biggest win in Hurricane Hoops history. I am Miami heading to the Final Four for the first time.
I remember when they dropped the program, and then I remember Penn State going down to play in the AMI Miami Classic in 1986, and they had just started bringing the program back at that point. And a program that at one point produced a great player like Rick Berry, for example, back in the early 60s. And then they were out of the ball game, then back in it, and now you see where they are today. But they are really, if you're going to target the first team that really, the first program that really benefited from NIL, where it was and I know NIL did not do much for the Miami football program. I mean, at least this past year did not. But this is a case where you can look at NIL and go, okay, did not hurt the basketball cause there at all. And Jim Larrañaga is a marvelous coach. Okay? He's a marvelous coach. Does a great job. Oh, and here's one for you. You're going to love this. Florida Atlantic is in its last year in Conference USA. They transition to the American Conference starting next year. Because of the way everything is structured, Florida Atlantic has now won four rounds of the tournament, right? So the money goes to Conference USA. Guess which school in Conference USA will never see a dime of it?
Florida Atlantic.
Yep. Because they're going to the American.
Oh, man.
Well, this is what I told you about UCLA.
Right.
Right? UCLA, for example, this year, next year, same thing with USC. Anything they get goes into the fund that rolls over 6 years of units for the Pac-12.
Yep.
And then when they start in the Big Ten, then they'll start fresh on units for the Big Ten. Well, it's the same thing with Florida Atlantic. They are not going to get a dime of all the money they're earning for Conference USA.
Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.